I have a burden on my heart tonight. I feel like I need special help from the Lord. Over in the 9th chapter of Luke, the 51st verse, it says, "It came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans, to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." I'd like to look at that thought a little bit tonight and pray that it would challenge every one of us to a closer walk with the Lord. Seemed to me like that the Lord had his hands full with these disciples. He, of course, was bringing something to them that was completely outside of their understandings. It was way beyond them. No one had ever considered a lot of these things. These disciples, I believe, were zealous of truth and desiring of the Lord. But they really missed it on this one. And they took this opportunity to express to the Lord how much zeal they had. Lord, we'll do whatever you want us to. You want us to let them have it. I think there's been times in my life that I had this spirit they had about things and about people. Things that go against the established truth in my mind, and people that rebel and act ugly about things and those kind of things. And I have, rarely say it, but have a disposition in my heart that they've got something coming. I remember a young man at home saying one time he was having problems on the job, and he said to us, "They better be glad I'm not God." My response to him it was, "I'm glad you're not God." There's only one, that needs to be God, and it's not us. But he said to these disciples here that you don't know what manner of spirit, not manner of spirit, that you're of. And Lord, help us tonight to realize this, and it be strongly put in our hearts and minds, that the thing that the devil wants to change about us is the spirit that we have. The devil wants to take from us, and when they did not realize the harm and the damage they would do to themselves in this manner. My wife and I was talking about some things coming up the road, and I said to her, if anything I've learned in my years of serving the Lord, it's that it's really hard for me to be critical about people's failures. I've had too many of my own. I've had too many times that I had to beg the Lord to help me. I've had too many times that I've seen a shortcoming in my own life. And listen, it just wasn't a day, just a little bit to get over it either. I've had to work and labor for that thing. And I've come to a point in the position that I've come, and this is the position that I take. And I'll take it with anyone. We're in a battle, folks. For our never dying eternal soul. We're in a battle. You're in fighting a battle. And you coming with your battles and me coming with my battles. But listen, the failures and all that happens in people's lives, it's real easy for me to say, oh, but brother, we're in a battle. Don't look at it that way. I know there's failures. There's victory for failures. There really, really is victory in Jesus. But we come short of victory sometimes. People do.
Yeah.
The church is like a gigantic spiritual hospital that people are in and they get sick from sin. They get upset. They get discouraged and they find themselves less than what they ought to be. And you know what? I've been there too. I ain't always been the top of the thing like I'd like to have. These disciples was in a place and they was walking with the Lord and boy was they high up there. And Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? And the Lord rebuked them.
Yes, he did.
Why? Because the manner of spirit that they was projecting out was not like Jesus. Jesus did not want to be misrepresented by that, and he rebuked them. As long as you brethren are walking with me, you need to change that. Well, I didn't come to destroy people's lives. I didn't come to cut people off. I didn't come to just leave them out there. Don't you realize that I come that people might be saved? Don't you know that it's your job, your labor, your heart, it should be your heart and disposition to want it too? You just shouldn't want to cut somebody off. You should want that somebody can find Christ. That they could be saved. And that old nature could be changed. Now every once in a while I'll run into an old drunk that challenges me. I don't like to be around drunks. I don't like to be around people that these people rejected the Lord. I don't like to be around people that reject the Lord. I want to tell you something else. Every once in a while, people act ugly to me. And they act like I'm wrong. And I oughtn't do what I do. And they have all these things. And it don't feel good. But then I have to remember. You know what I remember? Many times I remember sitting in an old Ford van with a whole crew of housekeeping people at a job that I had at Snowshoe Ski Resort. I was the van driver. And I'll go back to that scene of me being in that old van and driving around, and usually there was another guy in there that they would take linen, and I was driving them around to different places. And I'll remember back of a young man that had a nasty foul mouth on him. And I remember sometimes to think of some of those dear women that was in that van that was living for God or trying to live for God that was in that van that was working there and how miserable I was making life for them by the foul mouth I had. I'm not proud of it, Sister Jeannie, but it was a part of when I look back and say, oh, let's call fire down on them. I wonder if they sat back there saying, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this? Who of us can claim our own righteousness tonight? Anybody can say a thing like that? I want to look at this and maybe indifferent than you ever thought of it before. But the idea of this, and I know there's spirits of the devil. There's the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
But I want to look at this a little bit different when he said, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. To think of it more, because there is different definitions of the idea of spirit. And all mankind, you do, I do, we all have a spirit. And the idea that there is a part of us that is not flesh. And it's not flesh. That's the inside of who we are. The actual definition of the word spirit is like, it's like the wind. Lord, help us to get a hold of this. It's the part that you can't see with your eye. So when death comes, we'll look in the casket and see the old body. But you know, there's an inward part to everybody that's alive. That a part of that is the spirit of that person that's in there. And it is more in this way, the idea of this is the mind. The mind of what we think. And this is what they was projecting out. They're thinking. It is more in, by definition, the mental disposition of a person. It's more looking at the mechanicals of a person, I guess. But we all have that part of us. And do you know that part of us is influenced by something? It's influenced by something. And Jesus had not fully been able to influence this part of these disciples. Because they had an idea that part of living for God was bringing down fire on them and destroying them. And Jesus rebuked that in their hearts, in their minds, to get them to understand of the mind that they had in them. The disposition that they had in them. How often something will happen designed of the devil to influence you into a bad attitude, a bad mental disposition towards your brother. And you want to call, you wouldn't say it, but you want to call down fire on him. Because he's done something that's embarrassing, or he's done something that hurts, or he's done something that is against you, or against the cause, or whatever it is, and if you're not careful, we'll have that part, and we want to call down fire. You know that'll hurt you. That'll hurt you. In the time to come, that disposition, that mental, that spirit that you're of, it's not God's spirit. It's not God's influence in your life. God would say to you, forgive them. God would say to you, love them. God would say to you, pray for them. Let's battle the spiritual battle. We recognize, where did you come from? Maybe you all didn't come from the same kind of depths of it that I've come from. But how can I possibly stand before the Lord and say, call down fire on somebody the way I live my life? How can I possibly do that? I'm going to tell you tonight, I thank God that He saved me from that life. Every day, I thank God that I'm saved from that life. I'll see young people sometimes that'll challenge me. They'll be out hooping and hollering and acting ugly, and I'll be challenged by that and think, that's just ignorant. Why are they doing that? And then, you know what'll happen? I've got this scene in my mind of a young man, probably not yet 18, running around with his buddies one night, disturbing people while they was asleep. Lord help us. Not knowing what I was doing, just thinking it was a fun time, out doing stuff. Didn't mean to hurt nobody, didn't have no animosity to anybody. I was just out being young and foolish and hollering and hooting, and no doubt there was somebody in the house was grabbing for their guns. And I was just out being foolish. And that scene comes back to me, and I remember it in this scripture, you know not what spirit that you're of. Yes. And that idea of what the devil trying to do to us, I hope that God could really put it in our hearts tonight that spirit, that kind of spirit is going to hurt us in our relationship with God. We could very well take an attitude and a disposition and hold that bitterness that defiles many that we get into our hearts will end up destroying us. So I want us to be challenged tonight with an excellent spirit. Lord, give us an excellent spirit. Over in the 6th chapter of Daniel, there is few men in the Bible that has the standing, in my mind, that Daniel has.
That's right.
Well, they was great men of the Bible. David was a man after God's own heart. But all that was written about Daniel was not positive. Or David was not positive. David had some real failures in his life. And there was other great men of the Bible. I think of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, in one part of the scripture, I believe, that says that there was no one like him before or after Hezekiah. Josiah was that way too. There were several kings in there. You know, Hezekiah had a place in his life that would bring a little suspicion to him. There was different places that men had that were counted faithful men. But Daniel, you can hardly find anything about him.
That's right.
Daniel's life is beyond reproach. Daniel was a young man that was carried away captive. He left everything that was known dear. I think of one passage of Scripture where they said to those that was carried away, sing to us the songs that you sing. Sing us those songs. And the comment back was, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? How can we sing the songs of deliverance and of the glory of God and of freedoms and all that they sung their songs about? How can you sing it down here in a place like this? You know, God done that, allowed that to happen, and Daniel was there. Daniel was there, and God let that happen. And he was carried away captive into a land that was so much different than the land that he was. In the land of Israel, he could freely worship God. And the people around him understood what that was all about. He didn't have to worry about eating defiled meats. And he didn't have to worry about the things that was around. But down there, it was altogether different. He didn't have to worry about, they all understood. He didn't have to worry about somebody understanding him not kneeling down to as the three Hebrew children and all those things. But Daniel was faithful. And there was something that was spectacular about him. In the sixth chapter, I'm going to read it from the first. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give an account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm, because in him was an excellent spirit, an excellent disposition. It was what came out of him. It's what flowed out of him. I think in my mind that Daniel was a man, if you could give me the liberty of this to project it into my time, I think Daniel was a man that said, thank you. I think he said, please. I think Daniel was a man that had respect to the individuality of people. I think within him was an understanding of about the way God created people and how he should treat those people. It was amazing. It was amazing. I covet it because I read in Daniel, and Daniel was an excellent spirit. Do you know the things that happened negatively to Daniel? It doesn't seem like he complained about them. It doesn't seem like he went charging or laying charge to people. He didn't even take it from that position. But he had an excellent spirit. He didn't allow the enemy to change who he was. And if anything tonight to get a hold of, folks, get a hold of this for this revival. Don't let anything change who God makes you. Because that's what the devil tries to do when he has somebody challenge you. He's trying to change your spirit. So you don't have an excellent spirit. So you have a complaining, murmuring, fault-finding spirit. A spirit that wants to attack back on somebody or get revenge back on somebody. Daniel had none of those characteristics. He was a man of an excellent spirit. Beyond that, let's read just a minute in the fifth chapter of Daniel. Says in the 10th verse, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came unto the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. All right? There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Well, what a testimony. There's a man in your kingdom that nothing can penetrate him. Who he is. Do you know it don't take much to hurt a reputation?
That's right. That's true.
It don't take hardly anything to destroy your reputation. All you have to do is throw the hammer. It's a fact. It don't take much to ruin a reputation and to make people... All it has to do is one event to make people to wonder, what is this person about and what are they like? There is a man in the kingdom. The queen says to the king, don't let yourself be down because there is a man in the kingdom that in him dwells the spirit, the disposition, the mind, the thought process of the holy gods. Nothing can deter this man. He is who he is. He is always who he is. He is faithful. You can't rile him. You can't change him. I've never seen him different. Because in him is an excellent spirit. The way Daniel got the excellent spirit wasn't by a human's ability to reason it out. It wasn't by his own fortitude or way. It was because he lived according to God's word and he lived in faith in God. And in him was the Holy Ghost. Well, we don't say that he had the Holy Ghost. It's a big part of our life. We'll get there. But we wasn't saying that of Daniel. The influence of God had influenced his life until his spirit, the spirit Daniel had within him, was not a nasty, ugly spirit. And it could not be changed to that by what happened to him around his life. So I'm just going to go through it a little bit for time. But you know what happened after this? When here, he's a foreigner. But he, by God, had elevated him. And the king saw the value of having a man close to him of such worth. Who would you like to have for your neighbor? I'd like to have this man. A whole bunch of these men. It would be real good to have him for a neighbor because you know what? He not only is not going to steal my stuff, he's going to watch after my stuff. Here is a faithful man.
Yeah.
Do you know that because Daniel believed that God set up kings, that he believed, now Daniel believed this, that this king was his king. Lord help us that we have the right spirit.
Amen.
And realize that no matter what God does, November 6th, yes, don't hurt your own spirit.
Amen.
Don't allow it to change what God makes of you. Daniel didn't. And Daniel didn't fly off when the kings changed. Do you realize that he was under at least three different kings and he treated them all with great honor and respect as if God, it was God that put him there?
Amen.
And he had that right spirit.
Right.
It was a spirit, an excellent, excellent spirit that you could not find a fault, and they tried to.
Right.
So now there was jealousy that rose up. He had got that position because the king trusted him.
That's right.
Because no matter what, this man was honorable, honest, upright. He was a man of integrity. He could count on him. He would be there. And do, you know, it's kind of like Brother Hurst and I was talking yesterday. You want the value of a man with an excellent spirit? Go ahead and hire one. If you can find one, you hire him.
That's right.
You know why? He's going to work just as hard when you're not watching him.
That's right.
As when you're watching him. You know why? Because he got to do right. It's not about how much he owes you. It's about how much he owes himself. And what he thinks of it, of what he is, what's inside of him.
That's right.
An excellent spirit.
I like that.
When I was working years ago surveying and living for the Lord and all, I remember this very vividly too. I was part of my job. I was actually just on the what we called the backsite man on a surveying crew, at least that day. And all I had to do was hold a plumb bob over a station, and when the station, when they got the shot, that was it, good. And I had to cover the station up, which was just generally a spike nail in the ground with a flagging on it and a number on it. And the reason we covered it up, because deer like to eat that flagging for some reason. I don't know what it was. And they'll come and when they'll pull the station out, you won't have your station. So the boss said to cover them up, get a rock and cover them up. Well, this particular time, I looked around, and I couldn't find a rock to cover it up with. And I searched, and finally I found this rock, and after they got the site and all, instead of laying it right on there, I just pitched it so it hit on there, and as I walked away, that rock kind of, it was on the hillside, and that rock went, and it started just, down the hill it went. I watched it go out of sight down through there. And I said, I'm not looking for another rock. I looked all over the place to find a rock, and I'm not, I said that myself. Oh, it ain't going to matter, and I'm not putting no rock on there, and he ain't going to know, and I just, and I started walking towards the way, back the, towards him. Oh, and thank God. I'm so glad God's faithful. You know what I heard in my mind? Not as men pleasers. With eye service is what I heard. But as unto the Lord, and that rung in my heart. Rung in my mind. I heard that just as plain. I turned around and went and found a rock to put on there. What are you doing? I'm looking for a rock because of something that's bigger than I am.
Amen.
It's bigger than I am. And you know the story of Daniel. Daniel was persecuted because he was faithful. He was because he had... Why wasn't one of these men where Daniel was at? Their corruption showed.
Yes.
Daniel wasn't there having envy against these other brethren. He wasn't there. He would have helped any of them to do it. He would have probably put them all above him. He wasn't there for that. It isn't the competition, folks, in the Lord between me and you. It isn't if you can do it better than I can do. We're in this thing together. Running it together. I wish I had a Daniel. I wish I had a bunch of Daniels.
Amen.
An excellent spirit was in him. But they contrived against him. And what did he do? He knew what they done. You know what he done? He could have went and said, how stupid could one king be? I've been under three different kings and this takes the cake. That wasn't what he had inside him.
That's true.
This is king given to by God. He didn't disrespect him. And he went and instead of saying, these men... Or trying to have, you know how we do it. Now be honest, you know how we do it. We go and make alliances. We go see how many people we can get on our side. What is there, 120 of these clowns or something, a whole bunch of them? How many's on my side? How many's on their side? Let's go get it together here so we can fight this thing out. And what he done? He went and threw open his windows like he always had done before. That didn't change him. Do you realize it didn't? The devil couldn't do it. He couldn't change what Daniel had in his heart. That's what God wants of us.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what the offense is. I love you. It don't matter. You do whatever you do. I'm going to go on loving you anyway.
Yes.
And you can't change me. You can change our relationship. And then it don't flow back and forth, but you can't change me. Because what I have is bigger than that. And so he went and threw... He knew! Anybody that prays to anybody except for the king 30 days is going to be thrown into the den of lions. That's what it is. Stamped and sealed with the king's seal, and that's the way it is, and it cannot be altered or changed. The king himself knew that he couldn't change that decree because if you go changing decrees, then decrees ain't worth anything. And he knew that if it did, he couldn't change it. He wanted to change it, but he couldn't change it. Because it loses the validity of it if he changes it. And now even the king's got to do something more. But there's a man with an excellent spirit. And he didn't blame the king. He went and committed it to God. I wonder what his prayer was the first day. Oh, Lord, I've been coming here throwing this thing open 3 days. Here I am again. Here I am again. But now I need you to help me here. I need you to help me. But whatever you've allowed, it's all right. It's all right. Well, you know the story. They caught old Daniel and went to the king and said, King, I thought you made a decree. Yeah, I made a decree. Well, this here Daniel that you put up at number one, by the way, this guy that you exalted up, he broke your decree. You know what they said when they looked to try to find something against Daniel? You know what they looked for? You know what they was looking for? They was looking at a crack in his excellent spirit. What they wanted to do, they started looking around at all the people that he worked with and dealt with and says, have you ever heard him say anything against the king? Have you ever heard him blaspheme or you ever... We want to find something. Couldn't find anything.
That's right.
Lord help us, but if the same kind of investigation was on your life, could something be found? I've got to where you say, I've got a case against him. They didn't find one with Daniel. No, he only had one thing they could blame him for. He was ridiculously faithful to his God. Well, Lord, help all of us to be that way.
Amen.
Because what you do you know why Daniel had an excellent spirit? Because he threw his window open 3 times a day. Folks, that's why he had an excellent spirit. That's why the king could count on him as absolutely faithful, was because he got power from his God to be faithful. And the king, I think when they said that to the king, that he must have thought, oh boy, I've been tricked. And I can't change it now. But he had lived a life before him, hadn't he?
Yes.
So much so that the king then begins to testify for Daniel.
Yes.
Your God's able, Daniel. Got to put you in there. Couldn't sleep through the night. Comes going out there first at daylight. What does he say down? Oh, he opens it up and says, oh, Daniel, is thy God which thou that serves continually? Is he able? Daniel. Oh, king. Now listen. Oh, king. Live forever. Reign forever. Be king, my king. For what kind of devotion is that? To the man that was that done that? But in him was an excellent spirit. And do we have an excellent spirit to be friends with one another? I mean, members of Christ's body together. An excellent spirit. You can count on me. I'll be there for you. I'll pray for you. And when you make that slip of words, anybody ever slip up and make... Well, I've had my times to have to go say, I'm sorry. I said something. I shouldn't have said, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I've been there and done that. Can we trust one another? Is there an excellent spirit in our lives? Daniel said, O king, live forever.
Yes.
He's able.
Yes,
he has shut the mouth of the lions.
Amen.
And he had an excellent spirit. And we need an excellent spirit to guide us through life. There's another scripture I want to look at. I think it's a familiar scripture to us. It's in Romans. The 8th chapter of Romans. I'm going to pick it up just a little ways back. Maybe the 5th verse says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Maybe get pretty blunt right here. And you might say, well, Brother Marty, you just stepped over and you're in yourself now. But I personally don't believe that you can go watching all this Hollywood trash and listening to all this entertainment, music entertainment, and thump and pound, and keep an excellent spirit. I don't believe that you can get a hold of the things of the flesh and nourish your life on the things of the flesh and maintain an excellent spirit. Daniel got his excellent spirit when he threw the windows open and he prayed towards Jerusalem.
Right.
And he got the power and the influence of God in his life. He was excellent of spirit.
He wasn't watching television.
No, he wasn't influencing himself with all the entertainments and crud and trash of the filth of the flesh.
That's right.
But he maintained his spirit on holiness.
Amen.
And right thinking and an embalmment with a direct relationship between him and God. And that's what influenced his life into an excellent spirit. The scripture is plain enough. If you walk in the Spirit, if you have the Spirit influence in your life, then you'll have the Spirit. But if you, after the flesh, start doing the carnal things of the flesh, then you're going to have the carnal things of the flesh coming out of you in life. That's plain enough. This scripture, there's a scripture here that I think people have stumbled over, to be honest with you. I think this is plain enough. Because it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can't be. God cannot work over it. He can't work through it. The influence that makes our spirit, the spirit that resonates from us, that is influenced by something in our lives, is not influenced by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And this carnality is what is influencing that, and it'll take a selfish direction. And it'll justify itself to many different levels. And folks, the only difference is how much a person has the ability to guard that thing and make it come out to what it looks different. Because the influence of it is bringing out flesh, and there is people that can hide that flesh better than others. There's people that can disguise it and make it look righteous.
Yeah.
Make it look like I'm doing it for a wholesome reason. This reason I'm standing where I'm standing, and it's nothing but the flesh. And it doesn't come from an excellent spirit. So this says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, I don't know, that sounds pretty plain to me.
Yeah.
When you live in that kind of a thing, there it cannot please God. How are you going to please God? How is God going to be pleased with our lives? He knows better than we do what's in our lives.
That's
right. This is the scripture. It's the ninth verse. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now again, I want to look at the mechanics of it. What was Jesus' mental disposition? I didn't come to condemn the world. I came that it might be saved. What was his mental positions? Philippians tells us, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Who done what? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He was creator. He's God. He's the Christ. He's who all creation centers around. And yet he humbled himself down to be a lowly man born in a manger. That lowly. That was his mind. And his heart was of love. He didn't strike back at them that struck at him. He didn't revile back at them and revile to them. What's this scripture then trying to say? It's not trying to say that as some suppose that the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. It's not what he's talking about. Do you know what it's saying is that if you have the Holy Spirit working in your life, your disposition is going to be Christ. And if you don't have it, it's a gauge to say you don't have the Holy Ghost. But that's what the Holy Ghost is trying to perform in your life. It's the life of Christ. To give you a mental disposition in your life and an excellent spirit.
Yeah.
A spirit of righteousness and of right acts and of being able to look beyond a person's the faults that they have. You don't justify them. We don't agree with them. But we go beyond them in our spirit, in our desire for them, in our hope for them. It's the Spirit of Christ. And if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because that's what the Holy Ghost performs in our life, that in us, our disposition, our spirit, becomes His Spirit. It's the avenue. It's not just the Holy Ghost works in our lives beyond us, does it? Then what avenue does it come out in? Our spirit. Did you know that the Scripture says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet? There is no unmanageable gifts given. That's because He gives us the Spirit and the calling, and it works through our spirit. Our spirit becomes in tune with the Holy Spirit. And then it can honestly say, you don't know what manner of spirit you're of. He told them disciples. You don't know what manner, what likeness of spirit. You don't know what manner of spirit you're letting coming out of you.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost wouldn't be doing that. It's not what He does. And you've got a bad influence in your carnal life. That's carnality. Let's destroy them. How about let's help them? How about let's do all that we can to give them the opportunity to be saved? And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Again, it all comes out. It seems clear to me. It seems so clear to me that the Spirit of Christ is that disposition that He went through life with.
That's true.
It was His heart and mind that projected out that when He come by and there were suffering people, He couldn't help but weep. When His people that He loved and He looked over Jerusalem, what was the Spirit of Christ?
Yes.
He wept. Why? Because He loved them and He cared. He couldn't walk by the blind man without saying, come. He couldn't walk by the leper without caring. He couldn't come by those that was diseased and in need. And when they come, He couldn't go by them without helping them because there was something in it. You know, the Scripture says that He healed all. One passage says, and He heals all that came unto Him.
Right.
Why did He spend His life doing that? Of the Spirit that He had in Him. What's the Scripture talking about? If you have not that Spirit, that disposition of mind and heart, that attitude. I was really influenced one time by a poster I seen one time. They was having a kind of a memorial service at a park one time for this guy. He was a biker. And so this big bikers club type thing and all this guy's friends, and it was a real worldly type deal, but they was having a big get together of everybody that knew him and was friends and all. He had wrecked it was slick roads, and he wrecked that motorcycle around the fence, and he died in that wreck, and they was having that service type thing for him there. And one of the posters had said, told his name and said that they was when they was having it and all, and everybody come and all that, and they said, no alcohol,
no
guns, no attitude. I said if they'd obey the last one, they wouldn't have to fool with the other ones. Because the attitude that we present, do you know that's the spirit? That's part of the spirit that we display of ourselves. The Lord wants to give us something, folks, that is real. And so many people never come to that real place, and I'm not saying not saved, I hope you understand what I'm saying, but to have the realization that there's an experience in God that I am to be unmovable. That your hatred to me don't move me to hate. Your disgust to me doesn't make me disgust. You don't control my life. It's His Spirit that does. Do you know that being like God means, do you know that you can't cause Him to hate you because you hate Him? There's been people that thinks, and I, 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 I That if I go out there and shake my fist, I had a neighbor that did it. Went out there and boy, he was mad and it was pouring the rain and he was getting flooded and he went out there and he was shaking his fist and just cussing God. And these people that would say, why, the Lord will strike you down. Well, he could. But he don't do that to foolish people. You know, that guy is too, you're not big enough to move him. Do you know, God sat right up there on his throne and loved that guy because God's love. Do you know, we try to love people out of our flesh. And you can always know it's the flesh is if they do something against you and it changes your love. It's the flesh. You're trying to do it with your flesh. But when you do it with the Spirit, it's not because they're lovable. It's because you have love in you. It's my Spirit.
Love of God shed abroad
in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That is the place that cannot be altered or changed. And that's what's made the huge difference in our Christian world. That's what's won people to Christ for centuries. Yeah. That's what's moved people there, that they've looked and saw something that was bigger than the person that had it. It wasn't of a human origin. It was something bigger. And there's been men that was... Jesus perfected it. He done it on the cross. They took him and abused him and put him on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. And that resonated right on down through to a man named Stephen that got a hold of the Lord real good and full of the Holy Ghost and preached a real good Holy Ghost message, and they were stoning him to death. And he said, don't lay it to their charge. Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Do you know there wasn't one of those guys that threw a stone, they gnashed on it in teeth, they written and all, they were so angry and all, and they never changed Stephen's spirit.
Right.
He loved them right till the last rock was thrown.
Yes.
And do you know what the Lord has for every one of us here? An excellent spirit. He wants us in 2012 to display an excellent spirit. One that's not altered or changed by the motions of this world, the whims of this world and the changes of this world. That isn't moved no matter who wins the elections. It isn't, my faith in God is not changed by the events of this world. The Muslims may be raising up. They may be burning embassies. And I still believe in God. Daniel was carried away into a land that was whole, altogether different, a heathen place. And he rose to prominence because he had an excellent spirit. And who can stand against God? You know where we're at today? I'm going to tell you. We're in a time in this world. You want to start looking with your eye and looking around, I'm going to tell you, look up. Look up and keep faith in God, because God can keep us through it all. And we can go ahead singing the songs of Zion because we're in the land of peace no matter where we're at. You know, God came to deliver us not from our environment. He came to save us in our environment. When the Lord came, do you know He came to an old Roman world, and the Jews, a lot of them thought the Messiah was going to come and set the Jews back on their throne of prominence. They was going to rule over the Romans finally, and boy, they was looking for that to where they could be the one with the goat, and they could do the, hey, we got them under our thumb now and do that. Oh, you don't know what spirit you're of. Jesus didn't come to give you that. Jesus come to save you and give you a salvation that you can go to prison with. You can be in prison with this salvation and it'll work. You can be in heathen, it'll work. It's just dominant. So let's remember. Let's fight for that excellent spirit. Lord, help us to have the Spirit of God in our lives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.